Hi, this is Ann Cavera with another episode of Speeding Past 80. And today I have two things. First, I want to share a few words from a book by John M. Sweeney and Mark S. Burroughs. It's called Meister Eckhart's Book of Darkness and Light. My friend Nancy in Evansville sent me this book. Eckhart was a German mystic who was born about 1260, more than 700 years ago. I find his words really relevant for today. I'm enjoying this book so much, I'll probably share a quote for the next couple of weeks. Today's quote will take less than a minute, and then I'll share today's story. They're kind of related. This little bit of wisdom from Eckhart is called Room Enough. Here's what he said. We talk and talk and talk. And all this brings us no closer to wisdom. If we wish to understand the deep truth that is in God and in ourselves, we must keep still and listen. Become poor in ourselves, desiring nothing and knowing nothing and possessing nothing. Only when we are empty of all our chatter will there be room in us enough to receive the gift of wisdom we long for. Now, keep Eckhart's words in mind while I tell you a story I'm going to call I Really Regret What I Said. Three or four times every day this week, I've been getting robocalls for political candidates. In fact, one came in while I was writing this. I didn't bother to pick up the call. They left a phone number to call back. But I've learned my lesson about calling back. I won't be doing that anytime soon. One time I did call the number a congressman left. I called him, or rather I called his answering machine back. You see, his robocall had caught me on a bad day. So I dialed the number, got wound up, and gave him an earful of what I think about where this country is headed. Doesn't matter which party the congressman belonged to. What I said could have easily applied to people on either side of the political aisle. Well, I begin by saying, I am an independent voter who rarely, if ever, votes a straight ticket. Then I went on to tell him how absolutely disgusted I am with the lack of honor, dignity, and leadership in our government. I said I would no longer vote for a spineless senator or representative who enabled weak, morally bankrupt people to hold public office. I said we need leaders who know what is right and also are willing to refuse to bow down to people who do what is wrong. Well, that was just a taste of what I said to the answering machine I assumed was connected to the congressman's office. I did not use any language my good Baptist mother would have frowned upon. I did not engage in name-calling, unlike some of the people who already are in government. However, I was in full throttle and in my best ex-middle grade teacher voice, I let him know this nonsense has to stop now. I tried to remain civil, but the tone of my voice may have been a shade closer to Archie Bunker than Mother Teresa. Well, I never heard back from that congressman. He probably gets calls even worse than mine every day. Maybe some interns in his office said, well, here's another one, and had a good laugh over it. At least I felt better having said my piece. I might have even strutted around the kitchen for a minute or two afterwards, feeling proud of myself for striking a blow for liberty, justice, honor, and the American way. That should have been the end of it, and it was. Until the Lenten fish fry at church last Friday night. My neighbor Betsy lives just across the street. We're both widows, and we hate to cook for just one person. The fish fry counted in our books as an exciting evening out with a bonus of food included. We parked way back at the end of the parking lot. The weather had been bad for the fish fry a couple of weeks earlier, so everybody waited and came to this one instead. We got our tickets and began looking for a place to sit in the school cafeteria. Lucky us, we found four empty chairs at the end of one of the tables. We put our coats on the back of two of the chairs and got in line. After collecting our fish, coleslaw, applesauce and mac and cheese, we headed for our table. We saw the backs of two people who had already taken the last two empty seats opposite us. As we unloaded our trays, I looked across the table, right into the face of the congressman I had read the riot act over the phone. Betsy and I smiled. We exchanged greetings with the congressman and his wife. Now I'm thinking, oh no, what if he recognizes me as the crazy lady on the phone? Or did he know my husband? Did he know Jim? I bet he knew Jim. Jim knew everybody. We could have been in a restaurant 200 miles from home, and sure enough, somebody would come over and say hi to my husband. He knew Jim. I bet he knew Jim. Well, even if the congressman knew Jim, maybe he wouldn't make the connection that I was his wife. I decided to keep my head down and eat as if we were having prime rib, which we most certainly were not, because this was Friday in Lent. Then I thought maybe I should say something. Should I apologize? No, of course not. He would have no idea what I was talking about and would know for certain I am a crazy person. Thank goodness Betsy knows how to carry a conversation, and so did the congressman's wife. I just kept smiling and eating, glancing up now and then to try to look interested. His wife seemed lovely, and the conversation did not turn political. The man's wife said they often go to community events so they can talk to people. She mentioned other local events they had attended. The congressman was pleasant, but he kept smiling now and then and focusing on his food much like I did. This only confirmed my suspicion that he was on to me. I kept hoping they wouldn't ask our names, and thankfully they didn't. After a few minutes, I began taking a careful look at the congressman. You know, he seemed tired. In fact, very tired. I'm familiar with his work, and in spite of my outburst, I know he's a quiet, conscientious legislator. He's done a lot of good things for our community. I wondered how it must be to hear from so many angry people day in and day out, even though you're trying your best. After all, the angry ones are always the loudest. I've heard some people in government get envelopes in the mail with some kind of white powder meant as a threat that something worse may be coming their way. Some have even received actual death threats, not only for themselves, but for their family members as well. After a few minutes of pausing to really see this man quietly eating his meal, I began to think of him not as a faceless legislator, but as a human being with an overwhelming job, trying his best to fulfill his calling. Maybe my outburst over the phone is a good example of what happens when we feel entitled to judge without compassion, without really knowing anything about the person we feel entitled to judge. Well, the four of us finished eating about the same time. I wish I'd had the courage to say something like, I know you have a terribly difficult job. I do appreciate the effort you put into working for us, even though I don't always agree with the positions you take. You know, I thought I caught a glimpse of courage and strength in this man. And in the end, I did not find the same courage or strength in myself to speak to him with honesty and compassion face to face when I had the chance. Maybe that's why Jesus so often had a meal with people. It's easy to rant and disparage when we don't really know the people we're judging. It's not until we sit down at a table and break bread that we begin to understand we're all struggling human beings, and most of us are doing the best we can in these difficult, challenging times. In the words of Meister Eckhart from more than 700 years ago, we talk and talk and talk, and all this brings us no closer to wisdom. Maybe it would be good if we could just listen for a change. I do have one final note. The middle grade novel I started writing more than 40 years ago is being published by Elk Lake next month. It's a story of loss, forgiveness, and hope told through the relationship between a grandfather and granddaughter. The title is Ride a Summer Wind. I'll tell you more about it in the coming weeks. This is Ann Cavera with Speeding Past 80.